The following audio is from the Lifeway Church. For more information about the Lifeway, please visit our website at www.thelifeway.org.
Well, welcome to the Lifeway Church. My name is Andrew McLean. I am the lead pastor here. We're thrilled to have you in service with us this morning. A brand new series that we're launching week one called The Blessed Life. The Blessed Life. I'm curious, how many of you would say here that God has blessed you? You're living a pretty blessed life. Would you go ahead and raise your hands? All right, that's most of us here. All right, now let me qualify from the onset of this message and the onset of this series that I don't want anyone to mistake anything that I say in this series. This series is not a prosperity gospel series. I don't believe the prosperity gospel. I believe that God blesses his children, just like those of us with parents like to bless our children. But I don't believe in the prosperity gospel. So please don't misconstrue anything that we're going to talk about in this series with this. This series is absolutely not about giving to get. All right? Turn to your neighbor and say, this is not about giving to get. All right? This is not about giving to get. Instead, this series is about giving to give. It's about learning to live a blessed life. And the only way to live a blessed life is to put your life in the hands of Jesus and let him bless it. The only way to have truly blessed finances is to put those finances in the hands of God and allow him to bless them. And so we're going to talk about what living a blessed life actually looks like over the next few weeks. And I can't emphasize this enough, how much of a game changer these principles will be for you if you do them. How many of you, and be honest here with me this morning, there's no shame in admitting it, how many of you would say, even though I'm blessed, I'd love to be even more blessed? Anybody here? All right, so there's some honest people here who'd like to be more blessed. Thank you for those of you that have said, you know what, I'd love to be more blessed. Well, if you'd love to be more blessed, we're going to jump right in. You can take out your service guide and follow along with us in the sermon outline. This scripture, Acts 20:35, should really speak directly to you. Listen to what it says. It says, you should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Jesus said, if you want to be more blessed, it's actually more blessed to give than it is to receive. The difficulty today is that so many people think the way to be blessed is by getting more. When the reality is to really experience a blessed life, we must be generous. We must be generous, and we must give more. I remember the first Christmas. Shiloh and I actually went on our first official date on December 26th, and it was the next year. We had been dating for about a year. It was the first Christmas that we were kind of a real item together. And Shiloh's looking at me like, "What are you gonna say right now?" I usually run these stories faster. This isn't a bad one. But I remember being so excited. I was getting ready to go to Africa, and I remember being excited about that Christmas. And so I had spent a bunch of my money. I had several jobs, and I had bought a whole bunch of presents. And I thought, how many of you ever get these ideas and you think they're really good ideas, and then in retrospect you look at it and say, that probably wasn't the best thing to do. But I had bought Shiloh a promise ring, never said anything to my mom and dad, and I just threw it under the tree for family Christmas for her to open in front of the entire family. That wasn't the best decision I ever made as far as, you know, not telling them, giving them a little bit of a heads up. But I remember getting ready for that Christmas and the gifts we exchanged. In fact, I remember some of them to this day. It's been more than 20 years ago. How excited I was to give those gifts. It was one of the most exciting Christmases that I ever had, because I had thought long and hard about all these gifts that I had bought that I knew that Shiloh would like. And after reflecting on that Christmas, the reality of Jesus' words actually became crystal clear to me. I was far, far more blessed to give than I was to receive. And if we as believers can internalize this truth, it will be unquestionably life altering. Everyone say, more blessed. More blessed. It's more blessed to do what? It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Now, when you start talking about a subject like this, there tends to be a little bit of tension. How many feel that tension just kind of, you know, there tends to just be a little bit of tension. People get stressed out when we talk about money. How many of you know that's true, right? I mean, I know whenever you start talking about money that people can get kind of tense, you know. Money conversations in our house are not always the funnest conversations to have. You know, you get all because, you know, we've got these financial issues and we've got these struggles. And you know what? I don't really want to talk about this. I don't want to talk about this today. And understandably so. So for everybody here today, here's what we have. We want to make everyone feel good and not be stressed out today. So for everyone today, we've got these stress balls here. All right, ready? All right, come on. Some people are going to help me pass those out. We're going to have some fun. Here we go. All right. We don't want anybody to be stressed here today. We got others passing them out. Here we go. All right, if you didn't get one, raise your hand. Way back in the cheap seats. All right. You just take this ball next week when you're paying the bills and just squeeze that, all right, you know? Don't be throwing balls at your wife, all right? All right, everybody got a stress ball? All right, okay, we can move on here. LifeWay cares about you. We want you to be relaxed. So I know that was a little fun, but some of you may just need to grab this a little tighter as we're talking today. The key thought for this message, if you're taking notes, we need to understand and embrace this spiritual truth. It's the first blank in your outline. It's this, is the key to the blessed life is a heart of generosity. It's a heart of generosity. And generosity is actually one of the core values of the LifeWay Church. We want to be generous in everything you do. And so if you want to be more blessed, you'll be more blessed when you become more generous. Let's look at some scriptures. A lot of scriptures today. God's word has a lot to say about this subject. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25. It says this, give freely. And so we would think, well, if you give freely, you're going to have less, right? That's kind of what we tend to think. But the Bible says, give freely and what happens? And become more wealthy. Another one, though, he is stingy. He could give, but he doesn't give. He holds what he could give, but instead of having more, which is what logic would actually say, instead the Bible says he loses everything. One man gives freely and gains more. Another withholds and loses everything. Verse 25 tells us what kind of person will prosper. It says, the generous will prosper. Those who refresh others themselves would be refreshed. One man gives freely and gains more. So the key to the blessed life is always a generous heart. In 2 Corinthians 9 and 6, Paul said it this way, remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get what? A small crop. But the one who plants generously will do what? They're going to get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. For God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Everybody say cheerfully. Cheerfully, this word cheerful, if you go back to the original, if you go back to the Greek and look it up, it actually means hilarious. Hilarious. How many of you ever felt hilariously cheerful when you put your offering in the basket, right? This is the person who gives, wow! You know, like Elf last week, Santa's coming, right? You know, wow, I get to give. Yes, that's what God is talking about here. The Apostle Paul is talking about here in this scripture. God loves the person who gives cheerfully. In fact, if you read about it in the Old Testament, when the Hebrews would come and bring their offerings, they would actually have these feasts. They would have entire parties centered around giving offerings. Well, we're so blessed we get together to party because God has blessed us and he's enabled us to give. God loves a cheerful giver. So you want to see the blessed life when you're generous. On the other side of generosity, there are actually some things that God promises to you. Listen to this in verse 8. And God will generously provide all you need. All you need. Just a couple of verses later, verse 11, it says this. Yes, you will be enriched in every way. Notice he's just not talking about finances. If you limit the blessings of God to just finances, you are really underestimating his power. The scripture says you will be enriched in every way. Well, what could that include? What does that include? Certainly, obviously, financially and material, but even more, you could be blessed with relational riches. With a fantastic, deep, thriving marriage, with great friendships. God can bless you that way. You could be blessed with great physical health. You could have a job that you love, and based on your education, you should never even have the position that you have. Scripture says that you will be enriched in every way. Why? So we can kick back, right? So we can take it easy. So we can consume what we've worked so hard for, right? Is that why we're blessed? Is anybody awake here today? All right. No. But instead he says, yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So I want you to picture this just a moment. Imagine if your heart of generosity would grow to such a point that there are people all around the world that praise God because of you. They will thank God for your generosity. And so I want to talk to you for a few moments about three different giving mindsets. And so here's a question I want you to think about. Knowing it is more blessed to give than to receive, why are people not more generous? Another way of saying it is why are people not more blessed? And so the answer to this question is actually the first giving mindset that we're going to talk about. Number one, if you're following along in our notes, sadly, many people live here today. Write this down. It's called the bag mindset. The bag mindset. These are the people that believe, you know, we don't have enough. We'd like to give, but we simply don't have enough to be generous. Some of you can maybe even relate to these words from Haggai 1:6, which says this: you have planted much but harvest little. You eat but you're not satisfied. You drink but you're still thirsty. You put on clothes but cannot keep warm. Your wages disappear as though you were putting them in pockets filled with holes. You've got the bag mindset. You've got a little bag and you fill it up with your monthly income. And every month it seems like there are holes in it. No matter how hard you try, it seems like there's not much left over. How many of you have been there when there's more month than there is check at the end of the month, right? I think all of us have been there at one point or another. And whatever, you know, seems to go into that bag comes out and you get upset because there's not enough in the bag and you feel like you're, you know, anytime, you know, how many of you have been here where you finally feel like you're starting to get ahead and then everything goes wrong, right? Like the transmission goes on the car and the furnace goes out in the house and the hot water heat fails and it feels like you're living with a bag that just has all of these holes in it. And as much as you'd like to be generous, you don't feel like you can because it seems like everything there just falls through. In that feeling like there's just not enough. I wish I could be generous, but I don't have enough. Well, what's interesting is when you look at Scripture, there's this guy in the New Testament that was really, really into the bag mindset, getting into the bag. His name was Judas. He was the guy who actually carried the money bag around for Jesus and the disciples. And if there was any guy who was really getting into what the stuff in the bag could buy, it was Judas. There was a time when the disciples were out and this woman came up to Jesus and she wanted to worship him and she broke open this box of perfume that was actually valued at a year's worth of wages to worship Jesus. And Judas just cried out. He said, "No, don't do that. Think of the money that's being wasted. Think of that." He was so consumed by what was in the bag. In fact, you know what he did? He actually did later on what many people do today. He betrayed Jesus because of the bag mindset. He betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver in a little bag. And really, we all say, well, I would never do that. But yet, many of us, probably all of us here at one time or another, have been guilty of this. We don't give. And the scripture clearly tells us that the tithe belongs to God. And returning the tithe of 10%. And people don't do that today because they're concerned about what's in the bag. When they are, they're more concerned about that than they are with obeying what God has. You know, I would love to give, but the bag has holes in it. You know, Christmas is just around the corner and things are tight. And man, we're just struggling to make ends meet. And the economy is bad and things aren't getting better. I'm worried about my job. I'd love to give, but I don't feel like I can. And the first one is where so many people live today. And that's the bag mindset. Everybody say, woo, the hard one's over. That's the bad one, all right? That's the tough one. The second one, if you're taking notes, is so much more exciting, and that is what we're going to call the basket mindset. This is the person who believes that God is an abundant God, and we can trust him. Deuteronomy 28, 4 through 6, it's an incredible chapter. I'm just going to read a portion of it with you. It says, your children and your crops will be blessed. The offspring of your herds and flocks will be blessed. Your fruit baskets and breadboards will be blessed. Wherever you go and whatever you do, you will be blessed. Jesus, in the New Testament, he gave this really amazing teaching about the basket one time. Many of you, actually probably all of you, have probably heard this scripture, but never really understood the backstory behind it. In Luke chapter 6, this is what Jesus says, give and you will receive, right? Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you give back. What was he describing? He was actually talking about a basket here in this verse. When Jesus was teaching, he was teaching to a group of people that understood that the whole structure of the community and the farmers and the landowners and the ones who would harvest grain. And once the crop came up and once that harvest was ready, there were actually two kinds of people that would harvest the grain in the fields. There were the day laborers. Those were the ones that the landowners hired and they would work for money. And when they would fill their baskets, they wouldn't fill the baskets really high. They wouldn't press it down because they had to carry it across the field. So their baskets might be 3/4 full and just to, you know, not push down. And the reason they did that is the heavier it was, the harder it was for them to carry it across the field. But there was also another type of gatherer in the field. And that gatherer was actually the beneficiary of the landowner or the master's benevolence. These were the poor people. These were the people that didn't have food to eat. And the master, being generous, he would say, you know, at the end of the day, you're welcome to come behind and bring your baskets and fill them up with whatever is left over. So as you can imagine, if you're starving, if you're hungry, these people weren't filling their baskets up just 3/4 full. They were filling that basket up and they were pushing it down. They were getting as much as they could in there. Why? Because they didn't have anything. And so that's what this scripture means with good measure. Press down, shake it, get as much in that as we can because we're going to carry it home. And as they were carrying it home, their baskets would be so full that it was actually falling out. And that's because of the master's generosity. Their baskets would be overflowing. And I want to tell you this morning, this is the kind of God that we serve. He is the God of abundance. When we are faithful with a little and when we are faithful with what's in the bag, what happens is he will begin to trust you with more and he'll begin to give you a basket that will overflow. I love, there's a great story in the New Testament. There was a little boy one day who was listening to Jesus teach along with, the scripture says, 5,000 men. They estimate the crowd to be anywhere from 10 to 15,000 people. And Jesus on that particular day, as some pastors are known to do, ended up teaching a real long time. Like Jesus was like, man, I am in the zone. I don't know if Jesus ever wasn't in the zone, but like he was speaking and it was just coming. And all of a sudden the disciples are, you know, kind of looking up at the sun. And they're like, man, people are getting hungry. There's nothing to eat. We're out here in the middle of nowhere and everybody's hungry. And so they start looking around. Does anybody have any food? And so there was this one little boy that scripture says he had his lunch basket. And there were five loaves and there were two fishes, and they were like, and they're asking for it. And so this little boy, if you can imagine, if he had the bag mindset, what would he say? He said, "Man, this is my happy meal. I brought this. You ain't having my happy meal." But no, what did this little boy say? He says, if Jesus wants this, he can have it. And so he gives over the basket to the disciples. This little boy had this very simple faith, and he just gave what he had. And you know what Jesus did? He took what was in the basket. He took those five loaves and those two fishes, and he lifted it to heaven. And it's key here, he blessed it. We're talking about the blessed life, and then miraculously Jesus began to break this little lunch, and with this little lunch, this miracle happens, and over 5,000 people ate till they were full. They couldn't even eat anymore. Watch this. First, it was given to him. Second, it was blessed, and then it was multiplied. The next blank in your outline, in all areas of your life, God wants you to give so he can bless and multiply it. He wants you to give so he can bless and multiply it. Here's the key, and you may have never even noticed this in the story before, but when this lunch was all said and done, when all the serving was all said and done, and everyone had eaten till they were full, there were the disciples went around and they began to gather the leftovers, and scripture says that there were 12 baskets filled with leftovers, all from the gift of a small boy. When we give, scripture says, it will be given unto us. When one man gives freely, he will receive even more. When one withholds unduly, he becomes or moves to poverty. So if you want to be more blessed, we need to understand it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Here's what I pray for every single one of us today is I pray that God would stretch our faith out of the bag mindset into the basket mindset. When you're faithful with a little, he's going to give you more. And one day you're going to wake up and you go, you know what? We have more than we need. We really do. And that's because we have this heart of generosity. And you're not going to think, well, man, I got more. I got a bigger raise. It's more for me. Instead, you're going to realize that this is a gift from God. This is a gift from God. And I can be more blessed by giving and sharing with someone in need. So not only are you going to bring your tithe to church, but you're going to give offerings whenever you can. And then when you see someone in need, you just jump in and go, you know what? I can meet that need. You don't even have to pray about it. You just write the check immediately and say, you know what? There's a need because God has blessed you with the ability to be a blessing. Your basket is overflowing. You're experiencing the abundant blessings of God. You don't have a bag mindset, but you've got a basket mindset instead. I remember it was about it's probably close to 2 years ago now, maybe a year and a half. We were getting ready for a pre-launch training meeting. We were using my parents' condo, and I remember that there was a little tradition my parents have for the boys, for Seth and Ethan. Whenever they leave, there's a little hiding place they have down in the basement. It's their little place. They hide in there, and now they're probably too big. They probably won't even fit in there anymore, but every time they leave, whether it's my dad leaving or my mom leaving, they'll actually go down and they'll throw some cash down there for them, and no matter what, sometimes it takes us a month to get over there after they leave to go back overseas. But the boys always like to run down there, and they like to see what grandma and grandpa left. And so this was our first time at the condo since they had left. And so we're getting the table set up, and we had a little giving basket set out there for the dream team that was helping in the pre-launch process, you know, to give and get the church launched. And so people were putting their funds in there. And I'll never forget, before anyone was there, the boys had ran down to the hiding space, and they had looked, and there was, I don't even remember how much was in there, but several dollars for each of them, and both of them, Seth and Ethan, both came to me, and they said, well, we want to put money in the giving basket. We want to give. We want to help launch the Lifeway Church. And I sat back as a parent feeling like this is one of the proudest moments of my life. Here are two boys who truly know that they have more than they need. They have more than enough, and they want it to be a blessing to others. It's the basket mindset. I don't want to trust what's in this bag. God is a God who overflows. I've got more than enough, and so I'm going to use it to help the needs of others. The third type of mindset, and this is where I pray that eventually as you take this journey, God will take each and every one of us, and if we're faithful enough, he's going to take us here. This is the bag where there's the bag, and then there's the basket. Number three is the barn mindset. That this is the one where people know that God is infinitely more than enough. Listen to what this says in Deuteronomy 28:8. He says, the Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. Imagine this. Imagine you're faithful with what's in the bag. And then you're faithful with what's in the basket. And one day God gives you barns that are overflowing. Joseph experienced this in the Old Testament. We don't have time. It's one of the greatest and one of my favorite stories in the Bible. But Joseph was a man who endured a horrible, horrible amount of frustration and difficulty in his life. He was thrown in a pit and left to die. And then one of his brothers, instead of leaving him to die, drug him out, and a couple of his brothers, and they sold him as a slave. And so if that isn't bad enough, he's sold as a slave. He's working faithfully for his master. He's falsely accused, and he's thrown into prison. And he's forgotten, and he's left there. But he continues to be faithful. He continues to be a blessing wherever he goes. And God works this great miracle where he pulls him out of prison and makes him second in charge over the most powerful nation of the world, Egypt. And because of his wisdom and his patience and his blessing and his attitude to help God however he could, God allowed him to store up these barns full of grain. And Egypt was getting ready to go into a massive time of famine. And he was literally able to save a nation because God could trust him. God could trust him with his positions. He was able to feed everyone with these barns that were filled to overflowing. And so when you're faithful in a similar way, guess what God is going to do? God's going to use you to bless many. He's going to use you to reach many because your barns are going to be overflowing because he knows if I give it to you, he's not going to take it in and be selfish with it. So here's the deal, though, that God wants you to know. God wants to know, how much can I bless you with? That's what he wants to ask each and every one of us today. How much can I bless you with? Are you going to be a bag person? Are you going to be a basket person? Or are you going to have such great faith that you're going to say, you know what, this stuff God has just given to me to be a blessing to others. And if you can have the barn mindset, God is going to blow your mind with the things that he will do. Luke 16, 10 and 11 says this, whoever can be trusted with little, what's in the bag, can also be trusted with much, what's in the barn. Whoever is dishonest with very little, the bag, will be dishonest with much. So if you've not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, he said, who will trust you with true riches? In other words, who can I trust you, or how can I trust you with the blessed life? Proverbs 3, 9, and 10 shows us how God is actually watching us. He's actually testing us. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything that you produce. Now most of us here, I don't know if anybody here is a farmer, but in that time, most people farmed. So what they did is they brought the best part of their crop and they presented it before God. But for here, what we do is we return a tenth. That's what a tithe is. And then there's this great promise. Then he will fill your barns with grain, and your vats will overflow with good wine. The beauty of the tithe is that it teaches us to trust God. It teaches us that God can do more with 90% that is blessed than 100% that is not blessed. And so when we return the tithe back to God, he blesses our finances. And when we don't, Scripture, we're going to talk more about this next week, but Scripture actually says that we're under a curse. And so when we return to God, the tithe actually breaks the grip of materialism where we just always want more. I can only imagine God saying this morning, I'd like to give you barn blessings. But so many of you think that if I give you more, it's just for you. It's not really all for you. I'm giving this to you because I want you to be more blessed and I want you to have more than enough so that you can reach and help somebody else that's in need. There was this guy in the New Testament who thought everything was for him. Jesus told the story, Luke 12, starting in verse 16, he said, a rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. And he said to himself, what should I do? I don't have room for all my crops. And then he said, I've got a great idea. I know I'll tear down my barns. I'll actually build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and all my other goods. And I'll sit back and I'll say to myself, my friends, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Which really, that's what so many of us are guilty of doing today. We think everything in the barn is for us, right? I need a bigger house. I need a bigger car or a newer car or nicer clothes or a new boat or a camper or an ATV or the newest iPhone or the newest iPad or whatever it is. But God said to him, listen to what God said to this man. He says, you fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you worked for? Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth but not have a rich relationship with God. Listen, this is so important for you to realize. God was not angry at this man because he was blessed. God was the one who blessed him. He wasn't angry that he had great wealth. God was angry because he didn't know how to be blessed. He thought that all of the blessings were for him. This was a guy that had barn blessings but had a bag mindset. And may I say very respectfully that really is most of us here today. You're going to say, well, I don't have a barn. My barns aren't overflowing. Well, truthfully, most of us here have a barn for our cars. Truthfully, when we look at our lives compared to the people that live around the rest of the world outside of the United States, we have barn blessings with a bag mindset. And the reason that we're not more blessed is because we still really believe deep down in our hearts that it's more blessed to receive than it is to give. I can't tell you how many times I've gotten calls from people, Pastor, I'm so excited, I got a raise, I got all this money. I've not had many people come and say, Pastor, I'm so excited, I got to bless somebody, I got to give some of it away, right? We have the wrong perspective. I remember about 6 or 7 years ago, I went to Nigeria on a missions trip. I spent some time with my parents, and we traveled about a two-hour drive out to a village, and we were doing some meetings during the day, and there was a big special service that evening, and it was a long, hot day. It was probably about 106 degrees. The entire day, no air conditioning. I sweat. It was dusty. My face was just covered. And by the time the meetings were done, quite frankly, I'm just gonna be honest. I wasn't feeling very spiritual. I just wanted to go back to the hotel room. But there was a 3+ hour service that we had to endure, and it was hot and stifling. And even when the sun went down, there was no relief. And so finally, the service ends, and I'm just so relieved we can go back to the hotel. I can wash my face. Get something cool to drink. It was going to be so wonderful. And my dad said, oh, no, they're having us over to eat. And I thought, oh, God, no, God, please, no. And so the pastor and his wife walk us back behind the church building to their home. Now, when I say their home, that's a very liberal word to use, home. It was these cinder blocks with a thatched roof. They had one electric wire hanging down with one light bulb, you know, in this room that was their home. And they begin to bring out this food, and they begin to even bring out, I found out later, was chicken. I had no idea what it was. And the whole time I was thinking, I can't eat this. This isn't safe. I'm going to get myself sick. I can't do this. And I was sick to my stomach, and I just couldn't wait to get out of there. But as I watched how they gave everything that they had and they served, and afterwards my dad said, did you realize that they didn't eat? And in my panic about getting, you know, typhoid or malaria or something, I really hadn't realized it. But he says, yeah, they didn't eat. And I said, well, why is that? And they said, they wanted to make sure that you had enough. That you had enough to eat. The fact that they even served meat was a tremendous sacrifice for them. And I thought to myself, here I am, a guy who has everything. These individuals had absolutely nothing, and yet it dawned on me that so many of them, when you spend time around them, they are so blessed. They're so overjoyed. They live filled with the grace and the blessing and the love of Jesus Christ. They're more fulfilled. They're happier than any of us ever are. It's because they are more blessed, not in the material things that don't matter, but they've learned that it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And after that experience, I've tried to make a promise to myself as a house, as a family, we're going to try as hard as we can to never have the bag mindset. But we want to believe that what God has given us, He has given it to us to be a blessing to somebody else. That the more we give, the more we're blessed. And I believe that God wants to bless your life this morning. So the key to a blessed life is a heart of generosity. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. As we close this morning, I want to tell you about the most generous one who's ever walked the face of this earth. The one who gave more than any person could ever give, and that's God. You want to talk about someone who's a giver. John 3:16, the best known scripture in all the Bible, it says this, "For God so loved the world that He gave." He gave his one and only son. And today I believe that there are those of you here who realize that you're not walking with God the way that you should. You're not in a vibrant daily relationship with Him. You're not even really sure where you stand with God. Some of you maybe even have come to church for a long period of time and yet you still really don't know Him. Or perhaps you've never really been to church, or you've never really made a commitment to follow Jesus Christ. I want to tell you, this is the greatest gift that's ever been given. God so loved you that He sent His one and only Son. He robed Himself in flesh as Jesus Christ, Jesus, the Son of God. He was born and He lived a perfect, sinless life. He shed His blood on the cross and He died and He rose again as the perfect sacrifice for the forgiveness of your sins. And I believe that's why each and every one of us are here this morning. What can you do to be made right with God? Well, Scripture tells us that there's really no good works that we can do. There's really nothing. It's really only the grace of God that you can be saved. It's not by our works. It's not by how hard we try. The Bible says it's the generous gift from God. Salvation is this gift that comes by grace through faith when you believe that Jesus is enough. And so what happens when you believe Jesus is enough? Well, let me tell you, God will give you the first gift, and guess what you give Him? You give Him the second gift, and it's not your money. It's your life. It's your life. It's way more valuable. You give Him your life, and you'll find, and when it's crazy, you give it to Him, and then you find new life, and you find hope, and you find peace, and you find joy. And I believe that there are people here this morning that God has brought you here specifically for a moment just like this. The Holy Spirit is reaching out to you, and you recognize that He's knocking at the door of your heart. Can I encourage you this morning to call on Him? Call on Him and say, you know what? I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. And when you do that, He's going to forgive you. He's going to transform you. I wonder if all across this room this morning, if we could all just bow our head, close our eyes, no one looking around. But if that's your prayer today, if you want God to, if you want God to just help you, if you want to turn to God, if you want to commit your life to follow Him, if that's your prayer this morning, would you just lift your hand, no one looking around? Thank you. There's hands all over this place. Maybe there's others of you here that have the bag mindset. You've got the bag mindset, and you know that God is calling you to become more generous. Is there anyone here that would raise their hand so I can pray for you, that you want to have a basket mindset? You want to have a barn mindset? Thank you. Thank you for hands all over this place. Thank you. In just a moment, we're going to pray together. I wonder if we could all stand together here. As I lead you in a prayer, we're going to sing a song, and as we sing this song together, I challenge every one of us in this room to ask this question: God, what are you trying to speak to me this morning? In fact, ask that right now. Just say it out loud. God, what are you asking me? What are you asking? What are you trying to speak to me this morning, God? We have some leaders that are here down in front, and they're here. If you need prayer, we want to pray for you. If you need help in any area of your life, we're going to actually start doing this every week. So maybe you need help in the area we've talked about this morning. Maybe you're sick in your body. You need a healing. Maybe you've got difficulties in a relationship. We've got some people down here that are going to pray for you. So in just a moment, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to start to sing, and you can just come down here right now. But let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I give my life to you. Lord, I repent. I turn my life toward you.
Thanks for listening to this message. We hope you've been encouraged by it. If you'd like more information about The Lifeway, please visit thelifeway.org.